Okay, this is the hour. We will take your phone calls, questions, stories as we talk about communing with the divine next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast with our special guest, Dimitri Moraitis, as we talk about his work with Barbara Martin, of course, and that is communing with the divine. It's fascinating work, Dimitri.
Oh, yeah. It's like you said, it's a life journey, and every day seems to be getting more interesting. And it's such an interesting time now. Another thing that's also, you know, the hierarchy itself is dynamic, and they're going through changes themselves right now. And one of the things that's happening now is they're actually getting closer to us right now. They're trying even harder to break through and make a closer connection. So it's even more important now. You know, we encourage people, if they don't already meditate, you know, if they want to get closer to the higher, meditation is a wonderful tool to get quiet and really hear what the divine is saying and get into it. It doesn't have to be a huge meditation, even 15 minutes a day, but if it's a sincere one and, you know, undistracted, that will bring you closer to the higher.
Well, there's no doubt about that. When people, you know, with auras, for example, how did the auras tie into this too?
Well, you know, the higher, well, of course, the aura is our energetic blueprint. We have the physical energy of the body, but supporting that is the spiritual support system that is the aura, and the aura is the individual expression of the universal life force. So as we're doing things in our life, let's say if I'm an artist, I'm in the throes of my creation, I'm going to be pulling in the spiritual powers related to that, which would be a powder blue of inspiration, electric blue of talent. If I'm a scientist and I'm getting very involved in all the things related to science, I'll be attracting different types of energies. Now, these energies, though, don't reach us by themselves. It's the holy ones. It's these celestial beings that project the light to us. So a big part of the book is saying, for example, well, let's say right now I need more confidence. Let's say I'm having an issue at my job, and, you know, I feel like I'm kind of getting taken advantage of a little bit, and I'm not really standing up for myself. So I need more confidence. Well, in the aura, the color of confidence or the energy of confidence is a gold light. Now, I can actually call on the gold light to give me that courage and strength. But if I even call in the celestial being connected to that, which is Archangel Michael and the angels, then I'm getting also that angelic power. And with all of that in me, I'm going to have more confidence to go out there and, okay, today I'm going to talk to the boss, I'm going to stand up for myself. And it'll have an actual effect in your life. So these different angels have duties. You know, let's say Michael is a very dynamic, he's also the angel of protection. You were talking about, you know, the evil forces. Well, you need to keep a lot of golden light around you, a protection, and Michael's the one to help you with that. Those forces flee awful fast when they see him nearby. On the other hand, there's another archangel, which is the other side of the coin, the magnetic loving side. That's Archangel Uriel. She brings in, she has like a magnetic presence, a loving presence, and she'll bring in the love ray. So let's say I'm, you know, I'm a little, on the opposite, I'm too aggressive, and I don't show enough care for people. I'm a little rough with people. I need more of that love energy in me. And Uriel and the angels of love will teach me about love, and they'll inspire me with that loving power. It'll fill my aura, and it'll give me more confidence to go out and express that. We were recently in a workshop, there was a doctor in the audience, and he said, you know, I could use that. I think I need to care about my patients more. I treat them too much just like, you know, my job. And so he recognized I need more of that compassionate energy. So these holy ones will bring in different qualities. Now, Gabriel is a fascinating archangel because he brings in a variety of things. He is the great healing archangel. So obviously he'll work a lot in the hospitals. If you're sick right now, you need to bring in the healing power, which is in the aura looks like a blue-white light, and that can bring in a lot of healing energy. He also brings in, we were talking about finances and things and money, he brings in prosperity consciousness. There is a color of prosperity in the aura. It looks turquoise. So let's say I'm caught in, you know, oh gosh, I don't have money to pay my bills. I'll never get out of this. I'm stuck. You know, we get into those financial panics. That turquoise light can make us realize, okay, we'll work through this. We'll find the answer. Let's keep our head straight. And it's Gabriel that helps to bring that energy through. He also brings in the creative energies. So if we are in an artistic writing, I know you write, and that energy can come in and help you to inspire you with the things that you're doing. And they'll come around anyway. You know, like tonight, there's the one that's been helping us is Raphael, mm-hmm. Archangel Raphael. Now, he's another interesting archangel. He brings in the intelligence, the silver, what's the silver light. So he's very good for guidance and direction. He's also very good in matters of business and legality issues, scientific pursuits. Anytime we're feeling lost or kind of asleep at the wheel, so to speak, spiritually or mentally or emotionally, he'll help to quicken us to keep us alert and awake. So, and of course, it's not just these beings, it's the legions of angels that work under them. Some people ask, well, how can like an archangel help all these billions of people? And well, it's not just the archangel. It's like saying, how can the president of the United States, you know, help so, you know, do so many? Well, he's one person or she. There's many people working under them. And it's the same with these archangels. You're really calling on an office, the office of Archangel Michael, the office of Archangel Gabriel. But another thing, when you get to the archangelic kingdom, that's so amazing. With angels, they kind of work with us one-on-one, more or less. I mean, they can bless a group, but they tend to work more one-on-one. But the beauty of the archangels is, while some say, can they be in more than one place at one time? Well, not really. They're a soul like we are, but they can project their consciousness to more than one place at the same time. So they can be blessing us right now here, but they can also be blessing someone else. They have that ability to multitask, if you want to call it that, in a way that we can't even imagine right now. And that's why they're able to be so powerful and so helpful to us. So we can, through meditative prayers, invoke and call on these beings. That's why they're here. They're helping humanity. It's their job to help us stay on track. And we'll feel more of that power as we invoke them and call on their help.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Bob is in Las Vegas. Hey, Bob, go ahead.
Hi, George, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
I have a question that I've always asked myself. And we always ask, where do we think we go after we die? And I keep asking myself, well, George, where did we come from before we were born? And I suggest, George, that it's the same place. And a good analogy, if you would allow me, if you've ever been outside an afternoon movie where it's bright outside, there's traffic, you know, and all, then we go inside the movie as if we're being born, and our eyes are getting used to the darker theater, and we're waiting for the movie to start, which would account for the analogy of us being born and have no memory yet. Then the movie starts. And then our memory begins in life, and we're so intrigued in the movie that we're completely immersed in the movie, which would be in life itself, and we forget all about the traffic, the people, activity outside the theater, which would be heaven. And then when the movie is over, you know, when we die, then the theater doors open up. The bright lights outside reminds us, oh, yeah, I forgot about the real life outside the theater, which means we're going back to heaven again. What are your thoughts on that, Dimitri and George?
Well, you sound a little Platonic there. Plato's the cave. It's actually a very good analogy. I might take it even one step further. When you step into the theater, let's say you get so enraptured in the movie that you forget there even was an outside. And you think you are the movie. You are so enraptured with all the characters and all that's happening. You start to think you're part of that yourself. It's like you jump into the movie screen and you become part of the movie. And then when the movie's over and it's time to go outside, it might be a little bit of shock to be like, oh, I forgot. It's just a movie. You know, it's something I was experiencing here. So you're absolutely correct. We come from the same place that when we cross over, and in metaphysics, it is called the astral worlds. And there are many dimensions, these astral worlds. We are prepared. They prepare us ahead of time. They say, here's the kind of things you're going to be experiencing in this life. They give you the energy, the power. then we kind of immerse in material life, we do sort of forget it, but not completely. So, for example, let's say you're shown on the other side, you know, you're going to marry this person, you have a destiny with them. We forget that consciously, but it's kind of buried in the subconscious. We'll meet different people, we'll date, you know, but then say I meet this woman, I say, oh, my God, I'm going to marry her, you know. And you think maybe it's love, but also somewhere in the back of your mind, you know, I have something to accomplish with this person. And you'll go through the life experiences, and then, yes, you'll return home. And you'll have your life reviewed. It'll be like literally you're in school. You finish school, you're back, and you'll gather up the knowledge. They'll show you where you did everything right. They'll also show you the areas, oops, you know, you could have done maybe better there. And that's part of the education process.
All right, next up, Bob. Thanks, by the way. Bob in Las Vegas, that was. Let's go next to Jeff in Michigan. Hey, Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hey, yeah, I had a very strange experience at the Walmart store yesterday.
What happened?
Walmart store?
Yeah.
In Michigan, yeah. Alma, Michigan I was in. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what happened?
Okay, anyway, I seen this girl. And she was probably about 5'3 or so in average build, you know, slender or whatever. Gold hair with kind of gold streaks in it, but she was wearing silk-colored gold clothing, like a really loose-fitting untucked shirt with those really tight, like, pants on. You know what I mean? Like the kind that are like leggings, they call them, or something, spandex-like. Anyway, and I could feel her looking at me. I'm very empathic. I mean, I've always been able to feel people's emotions or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I can always tell when somebody's looking at me. But anyway, I'm going through the videos in the bin, blah, 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 blah. And then I could feel her looking at me again. So this time, and every time I looked, she looked away. The one time I looked, she looked right at me and kind of smirked a little bit. And then when I looked away from her, I felt this really weird burst of energy go through me. And then I looked back over at her, and she kind of smirked again. I said, what is she, some kind of an angel? Just as soon as I thought that in my head, she got a strange look on her face, almost like a scowl, turned away, and walked away as fast as she could. I mean, like almost walk running.
Now, would an angel run away like that, Dimitri, or would they hang around?
Yeah, not usually. What might be happening, though, is you might have been picking up this person's energy. Remember, we can transmit thoughts and ideas to each other. So there might have been something that was connecting the two of you at that moment. She might have been picking up your thoughts for some reason and, you know, reacting to them, even though you weren't talking to her. Remember, we do exchange auric energy with each other. And sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's not. It sounds like this was kind of an unusual, interesting connection. She might have had an interesting aura to begin with, and either you were attracted to her aura or she was attracted to yours. Usually if it's angelic, they're just sort of there 1 minute and not there the next minute. It's more like a sort of a vision type thing. But either way, it sounds like an interesting experience.
How can you tell, Dimitri, if you're not being tricked by a demon as opposed to an angel?
Oh, that's such a good question. This is where the protection is important, because there are masquerading spirits. There are those that come and pretend that they're in the light and when they're not. Now, the tip-off is their vibration. They can camouflage their body, their form. They can perform feats of, shall we say, magic and even healing. They can show light rays like they're, you know, saintly and all of that. They can do all that, but they can't trick you up on their vibration. So when you know, the first thing you know that you're with a high being, and when I've had these experiences, first of all, it's the elevation and vibration. You feel like you're in heaven. There's a feeling about them. And that is telling you the vibration. The story of Barbara in the book about the, you know, having the experience with Satan himself, he first appeared almost like a Christ. He tried to fool her. But she said it was the most chilling vibration I'd ever experienced. So I knew something wasn't right. So that's what you go by. Not by what they say, not by their charm or anything like that. First, you go by their vibration. If you sense anything uneasy, you put that golden light around you and you ask the protection to be there and for it to be revealed what is going on here.
Have you ever Have you ever come across a situation, Dimitri, where you felt like you were being misled or tricked by one of these spirits?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It definitely has happened. The good news is, as I mentioned to you, I got such early training in this with Barbara. She made me hypersensitive to it, shall we say. So they didn't really have much opportunity, but yes, they do sometimes. And they can pop in unexpectedly, which is why, by the way, you don't want to obsess about them. You know, keep your protection around you. Keep that golden light. Keep thinking positive. One time, Barbara and I were working on a story, and she was talking about this experience of this, kind of evil being. And he showed up in the room asking Barbara, why did you call me? Barbara, in her usual way, he goes, I didn't call you. I was writing about you. But it shows you have to be careful, because sometimes we can invoke these spirits without meaning to. And remember, no evil can enter your aura unless somewhere there's a permission. The reason they do all of this is they're trying to steal our light. That's the bottom line here. They recognize that the most valuable thing, we're talking about auras, that most valuable thing we possess is our light. Because they walked away from the divine source, they can no longer access it directly. So they literally have to steal it. So that's why they are so tricky. They're trying to kind of lure you into something so they can kind of pull from you. And again, if you feel any of that you're being coerced, you're trying to do anything against your will, even if you think it's a high being doing it, you just say, I want no part of this. And they won't be able to step into that boundary.
Let's go to first-time caller Dale in Elkin, North Carolina. Hi, Dale. Go ahead.
Thank you for accepting my call. I've been listening to your show for a pretty good while. This is the first time I've gotten through to you, though.
All right, good.
I had been sick and lost my voice for about 2 weeks now. And for the last 2 days, I've not been able to speak at all. But last night I began praising God and thanking Jesus for everything he had done for me. And only once my voice just came back. First time I spoke, really, in nearly 2 weeks.
Wow. It sounds like it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger when it works in mysterious ways, Dimitri, does it not?
Yeah. Now, what caused the voice? It was an illness, you said, that caused your loss of voice?
No, I lost the phone. I lost you on the phone. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. What caused you to lose your voice?
I don't know. I think I just got a little chest cold and sore throat.
Okay. All right. Well, you definitely call in prayers, but the Holy Ones tell us this, too, and this is in our healing book. God works through all avenues of health, the doctor, the holistic practitioner, prayer, and the spiritual practitioner. So if you got sick with something, go see a doctor, do the prayer work that you're doing, but, seek all avenues of health. Sometimes you're right. Sometimes a miracle healing can happen through the power of prayer. Other times it needs a physical intervention, but whatever you need, you get with the help that you need.
Okay, we're going to come back with more final calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, on our next Coast to Coast program, it'll be the Friday night into Saturday morning open lines, so make sure you're part of that. And we're going to come back and take final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast, Dimitri Moraitis with us, of course, and we're going to take your final phone calls here as well. What are you working on next, Dimitri?
Well, of course, we just finished this book here. The next one is going to be on the what we call the Hermetic Center, the chakra system that we have. The heart chakra in our aura is our action center. It's where we put thoughts into action, and there's a lot going on. It's where the soul is gathering up the many experiences. So we're going to be offering a lot of insights on how to strengthen that to help you in your job, in your career, in your finances, and all the things that are going on in life right now. So that will be it's actually a series of books. This is the fourth one that we wrote now. We're going to write seven based on what we call the seven spiritual arts. So that one will be coming up soon, we hope.
How exciting will that be, huh?
Yeah, oh, we're looking for it. What's so nice is each book, as you say, the Holy Ones bring in these epiphanies, these revelations, so it's always something new. The beauty of working with them, it's always fresh. It's always new inspiration. You know, the idea of the days of inspiration or prophetic visions is over, that's not true at all. We're getting, you know, many people on this earth are getting these ideas and inspirations, and we need to nourish that.
Well, we should do. Spirit guides, different from angels?
Absolutely. It's a great question. We hear a lot about spirit guides now. Spirit guides are, now the term came from the spiritualistic churches about a kind of a discarnate spirit that would offer advice or help, and they used to call them spirit guides. Now we call everybody a spirit guide. My dog Fido on the other side is my spirit guide. But from the hierarchy, spirit guides are human souls that have reached a certain level of enlightenment, and they do help us from the other side. They help us to connect to the angels. But the ones that are directing things are the angels. So what they encourage us is definitely you can work with your spirit guides, but since they're taking the lead from the angels, if you step up a little higher, reach your higher self, you can actually tap right into the angelic power directly.
Okay, let's go to Eve in Albany, New York. Eve, you're up with us. Hi there.
Actually, I think Dimitri had answered my original question. I was wondering if Barbara was there available for comment, or she dropped back?
She's dropped, so
okay.
You go ahead.
Well, Dimitri, do you have the ability to see what my angels might want to say to me, or you don't have that ability to do it on the spot like that?
Well, let me say this. You will have three angels that do work with you, three angelic teachers. And what you can do while you're in the kind of the silence is there's a like a point of light about 2 feet above your head. And put your attention in that point. See yourself almost like that is your higher self. And then commune with them at that point and ask whatever question or concern that you have. And then hold in that silence, see what comes through, and then just do your best to act on it. That will be, do you meditate?
I have trouble. I used to be a very good meditator, but I have trouble because of physical things that make it difficult to relax into breath. It's hard to meditate when you struggle for breath.
Physical breath, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, it becomes sort of, you know, if I could step into another body, I would just go deeply.
Well, you know what? They will help you with that. We have a student in one of the classes, a marvelous woman. She's basically a quadriplegic, but yet that hasn't stopped her from doing her best to get into the meditative state. So even if it's not perfect, do make that prayer request, and you will get your answers. They know, they understand what's going on. I would work a lot with the blue-eyed fire and Archangel Gabriel for healing to help get more of that energy moving through you, and that should help to elevate your consciousness.
How important is intuition in areas like that when you're trying to get involved with the angelic realm?
It's everything. Your intuition is the prompting, a perceptual prompting of the Holy Ones. We have right now a physical body, but what we don't realize is we have these interpenetrating bodies, these astral and etheric counterparts to us. So when someone like Barbara is delving into the aura, she's using those mystical counterparts to do that. We have those tools ourselves, but they're not maybe as fully developed. But if you listen to the intuitive part of you, that's literally those inner promptings or those sensories talking to you. So let's say when you walk into a home and it's a beautiful home, but you just feel like, you know, you're goosebumps, something's wrong there, you feel uneasy. That's an intuitive prompting that your inner senses are saying there's a bad energy here, pay attention to it. But, you know, our intellect gets in the way and say, what are you talking about? Everything's fine. Look at the house is nice. But we got to listen to that inner voice. In the same way, the opposite will happen. Sometimes we meet somebody and it's just like kind of like heaven. They're strangers, but there's a wonderful connection. Intuitively, we're picking up something very positive with that other person. And, of course, we respond to that, hopefully.
Let's go next to Mark, truck driving in Nebraska. Hey, Mark, go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Dimitri.
Hey.
I've got a quick question for you. About 10 years ago, I had a tremendous change in my life. It was a very, very low point. And as a result of that, I came back and I was given a gift. And that gift was totally in contrast, 180 degrees, to how I used to be. I now have the ability to communicate with horses, where before I didn't really realize that I had that. And it's interesting because it happened at the same time that my stallion died. And my other question is, I was told that an animal, as he goes to the other side, will revert to their human side, in essence, to be a spirit guide like a human would be. Is that any truth to that?
Well, that last part, first of all, remember, the animals are going through an evolution themselves. So I know science tries to put us in the animal category, but in terms of the aura and consciousness, we're completely different kingdoms. Yeah, the animal kingdom is its own evolutionary kingdom, even though we share a lot of biology together.
Do they rise to a level ultimately in their growth?
Yes, yes.
And to a point where they stop coming down into this realm?
Well, they eventually reach what's called differentiated spirit, and then they will graduate to the human level. So they still reincarnate as an animal. They have to go through their animal experiences, but they do go through their kind of own type of animal enlightenment, and then they start to go up. So it's very important to take care of animals because it's not just about love and affection. When you're loving an animal, you are literally helping that animal in its evolution.
Indeed, indeed, because I feel like he is guiding me in this new epiphany and my new level of understanding and how to communicate with these animals.
Well, the beauty about animals is they tend to live very close to their nature. Sometimes as humans, we don't live up to our potential. So you can feel that wonderful rapport because animals don't have sort of the barriers that we sometimes put up. So evidently something awakened in you, the inner awareness of the animal kingdom. And that's a wonderful gift.
It is a gift. I really feel it's a gift from God, and I'm so thankful for it.
Wonderful. Well, keep up the good work.
Oh, I appreciate that. My goal is to teach other people because I've been given also a gift of teaching. So,
well, yes, teach them about the importance of the animals, how they're important to us. Yeah.
People who love animals, they have a special place in the world, don't they?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's good that we're getting a better knowledge of animals to realize that they're not just objects to do with as we please, but we have a relationship with them, and we have to honor that relationship.
Some people rely on the angelic realm, Dimitri, for better jobs, finances, relationships. Is that the right thing to do?
It's the right thing to do if we do it in the right perspective. So in other words, if I'm just like, I want this woman, I'll do anything to get her, and I'm asking an angel to help me, well, we may not get the help we're asking for there. But if this woman is, let's say, supposed to be in my life, and maybe for some reason it's not quite clicking, they will definitely help to inspire. They may say, just go up and, start the ball rolling. They will definitely push you in the way that you need to go. Same with a career. Let's say that's part of your tapestry of life to be in that job and you're kind of caught in this other one right now. They will definitely try to re-steer you into the way that you're supposed to go. They will, sometimes we just, the goal is to listen, to really hear what they're saying and then take the chance. The old expression, fortune favors the bold. Sometimes we just got to stick our neck out and, if it makes sense and feels right, okay, let's give it a shot. Let's try it.
Let's go to Bob in Camarillo, California. Hey, Bob, go ahead. Thank you.
Hey, George. Hey, Dimitri. How you doing tonight?
Great.
Good.
I had a really incredible experience about 18 years ago, and I was dating a woman, and she was grieving her recently departed father, who's a real devout Catholic. And after we'd been together a few times, she started telling me that she was actually seeing him appearing for mm-hmm. to her. And I noticed that, occasionally she was wincing and kind of like blinking. And I was like, what are you doing? And she's like, Well, there's also angels coming into the room with him, and when they appear, they emanate a brilliant blue flash.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, yeah, sure, okay, you know, fine. And I didn't really know what to make of that, but we continued dating for a while, and one evening when I was with her watching TV, I saw a incredibly bright blue flash right next to the TV.
Beautiful.
And I was like, oh, my God, this is for real.
Yes.
And she not only was seeing, like, one type of angel, she also apparently said she was seeing cherub types.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the babies, the angelic babies.
Yeah, and yeah. She had an 18-month-old son who she'd like say, oh, yeah, there's one floating above him. He was in this little chair.
Mm-hmm.
He would actually point up at this, you know, angel, which I couldn't see. And it just, like, it left an impression on me that I, you know, I never forget, because he was seeing this stuff. He was actually seeing her father, because he would point behind me and crawl up in my lap and point, you know, and start making like grandpa type sounds. So it just totally blew me away that all this stuff was going on.
But great.
Thankfully, I actually saw it, and I just wanted to, you know, see if that is true, that they actually...
Oh, yes, they do come around. Now, obviously, with the lady you were dating, there was a bond with the father, and, you know, they will come back to see us. Now, they do say this. They say, you know, certainly we'll come to visit you, but the Holy Ones ask us, you know, not to over-grieve, because they do have a life on the other side. But when they come, they don't really come alone. So it was interesting that your friend saw the angels that were attending them and the light that was coming in. But it's not unusual, especially at a passing when there's a lot of love involved, and it's a way of reassurance that, you know, I'm okay. I'm sure the father wanted to communicate, I'm doing all right, you know, and that kind of a thing. And somehow that transferred to you. And when you have those experiences, it's them knocking on your door. They're kind of saying, you know, pay a little more attention to us, and maybe the blue light was the way of getting your attention to them. So it's a sign to get a little bit more. I don't know where you are in your spiritual path right now, but maybe to take it a little more seriously, to realize these things are real and these beings are there to help us.
Let's go to Kathleen in Oklahoma City. Hey, Kathleen, go ahead.
Hi, yes, first-time caller. I had an experience one day, about a year and a half, 2 years ago. I was sitting at a bus bench waiting for the bus, and it was a sunny summer day. I noticed the car had passed me a couple of times, and it had also slowly stopped in front of the bus bench I was sitting at. And they rolled the passenger window down in my direction. And when that person rolled the window down, it was like standing next to a car in the wintertime. When the person rolls the window down, you can feel the heat emitting from their car. It was this blast of like heat coming through the window. And I was sitting just maybe 3 or 4 feet away from the car. And it deemed me like completely paralyzed. I couldn't do anything but shake my hand in a no fashion. But I had this overwhelming sense of lightheadedness, nausea. I felt like I was going to get you sick, but I couldn't really do anything. And I was just wondering, I pick up on energies a lot.
Yeah.
But that had to be one of the worst sensations, like talking about it,
careful.
Just kind of.
If you're sensitive to energy, you can pick up negative energy around you. Like, for example, you said you were at a bus stop when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
For example, let's say there was somebody who was at that bus stop before you who was in a really bad place for whatever reason. They can leave some of that energy behind them, and you, without realizing it, can walk there, and then something like this window rolling down can trigger a reaction, and suddenly you're picking up on these energies. I mean, there's a famous story about a bridge in England, which is known for people to commit suicide off of. But what's the eerie part is that they end up, and they don't know this ahead of time, they just wander there in their distracted state. They jump from the same spot.
That is strange.
You know, now that's because there's an energy that's building there. So
it's drawing them like a magnet.
Exactly. And then they're already desperate, and they're attracted to another desperation. So if ever you feel that, the first thing you do is you ask for the golden light to surround you, and you say, I refuse any of this negative energy. Don't entertain it. You know, sometimes we kind of get a little caught up. There was a person we were working with once who was experiencing these negative spirits and was hearing their voices. And Barbara had to do almost the whole exorcism with this person. And at the end, when it was finally released, almost in a disappointed voice, he said, oh, I don't hear them anymore. You know, he got kind of caught up in the sensation of it.
We've only got about a minute or so left, Dimitri. One, I'd like you to get your website out for people, and we'll mention the book, Communing with the Divine, but go ahead.
Yes, and today's the launch day, and thank you so much for having me on today to celebrate the day. It's wonderful being on. You're a great interviewer, as you know. The website is spiritualarts.org. We are a nonprofit, and we offer classes and workshops and all of this. And we invite you to visit the website and find out more about what we have to offer.
How's the weather been in Los Angeles? I'm coming back next week.
Oh, boy. You know, it's been... I turn on the heat at night and the air conditioner in the morning. It's kind of manic weather here.
I love it. All right, Dimitri, thank you so much. You take care. Give Barbara our best and continued good fortunes to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having us on. Bye-bye.
Don't forget now, our Friday night program, we'll have special open lines. I'll have a two-hour interview, but we'll have open lines the last 2 hours of the program and a very special tribute to the late Michael Rupert, another coast-to-coast guest, apparently committed suicide. We found out about it a few days ago. Just another tragic story. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.